Our subject this morning is a very pointed one. Pointed because it causes every one of us to make a sharp choice in life. The subject is pleasing God. Now, we raise a question. Should the believer devote himself to pleasing God? Among Christians, there's no debate on that subject. We understand from Scripture and from our own conscience that we have a responsibility to please God. The problem is, we often don't do that. There are many times when we make a choice to please ourselves rather than to please God. Who among us has not come to a situation where we have an opportunity to give a witness for the Lord, and somehow fear strikes our heart and we decide, well, maybe this person, you know, wouldn't be pleased if I said anything, and we walk off. And we don't take seriously this solemn responsibility. Our purpose in this life is not to please everyone, butter up everybody we meet so that they think well of us. Our purpose in life is to please God. And many times that's going to mean that we don't please people, that we talk with them about things that they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. And sometimes we read the Scriptures, quote the Scriptures to people who aren't interested in the Scriptures and don't particularly care. And how many times have we considered such an opportunity and just chosen not to say anything, lest they be displeased? But in doing that, do we consider that we have displeased God? In most cases, we don't think about that. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, there's a verse that is a kind of strange verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now that's a great declaration. When we take that choice of pleasing God, whatever people think of us, whatever people may respond to our testimony, it's the Lord's pleasure to make even our enemies be at peace with us. Now, it may not be instantaneously. There may be people who react to a testimony angrily and stalk off. But remember the last part of this verse. Even his enemies to be at peace with them. And those people who sometimes take offense at the gospel, take offense at being witnessed to, they may yet come to a point where they realize the truth of those words and recognize what you were trying to do and come back and tell you about it. That does happen. But the important point for all of us to remember is that our main business in this world is not going around making everybody feel good about us. We are not here to seek a popularity award. We are here to please God. And our basic question must be, what does He want? What does God expect in this situation? And when we know that, to have the faithfulness to go right ahead and do it. Now, for many Christians, they have not settled that yet. They come to a situation that is, you know, kind of flexible one way or another, and they will opt out for the easy pathway, not say anything. But then later on, their conscience smites them. You know, you should have said a word to that person. You could have quoted a scripture to that person, but you didn't. Now, The purpose of this sermon is not to give everybody a bad conscience. I'm not here to make everybody feel guilty. I stand guilty with the rest of you. But I'm raising a question about the direction of our lives. What are we all doing in this world? Are we here to have fun? Are we here to do our own thing? Are we here to go our own pathway, seek our own welfare? Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you know the answer to all those questions. We are not here for any of these purposes. We are here to serve God, to please Him, to accomplish His purpose. And we all know that. That's not in debate. The big question is, are we doing this? And the honest answer is, well, sometimes, which is pretty feeble. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God can arrange things so that those people you are intimidated by can become dear friends, fellow believers, one in Christ. He can accomplish all that, but if you never open your mouth, you have settled that it won't be through you. So, this is a subject that we need to hide in our hearts. And remember, because all of us can be intimidated by circumstances and people, and we worry about our testimony, whether it is a good, positive one, or whether it's offensive or belligerent, we certainly don't want that. But Scripture has much to say about pleasing God. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what does that mean? That means those people who are controlled by their lower nature, their flesh, rather than the Spirit who abides within believers. When they are controlled by the lower nature, they cannot please God. So, if you're thinking in terms of your own well-being, of the fear of men, of pleasing people to get ahead, if that is what's controlling you, then you're in a position where you can't please God. Whatever you do is going to fail. Paul is an especially good person to talk about these things, because he settled early on that his life was going to please God. He started out as a zealous rabbi with determination, only he didn't know the truth. And he started persecuting those who belonged to the Lord. But the Lord met him personally and straightened him out on that score, which must have been a terrifying thing to go through. But he was profoundly thankful that it happened, because he was changed from darkness to light. And instead of being a pleaser of his fellow Pharisees, he was going to be a pleaser of God. And boy, he made a choice. When we think of the life of Paul and what he was prepared to endure, and the beatings and the stonings and the persecution and the slander and the accusations and all that he went through, a lifetime of it, but he was there to please God. All those epistles pleased God. And all those missionary journeys pleased God. And all those one-on-one witnesses that he gave pleased God. He is a tremendous illustration to us all. So he knew what he was talking about. Those people who are in the flesh, controlled by fleshly opinions, fleshly standards, they cannot please God. They're in a position where they're going in a different direction. And God is looking away from them. Well, we, of course, want to have God's blessing. We want to go on a path that He can be pleased with. And so our choice must be very deliberate. We're not going to listen to the flesh. We're not going to please ourselves. We're going to look at the Scriptures and look at opportunities with a single-minded purpose. What am I here in this world for? Answer is to please God. No doubt about that at all. We can find it in hundreds of scripture verses. We know in our heart that's certainly right. And so let's settle that one for once and for all, that we are here not to please ourselves, not to have a good time, not to do our own thing. We're here to please God. And that solves multitudes of problems. In Romans chapter 15, starting with verse 1, Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Now, in this matter, the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect example for us. People may oftentimes be poor examples, but the Lord never failed. What was his purpose in life? It was always to please his heavenly Father. There's absolutely no question about that. As you read the Gospels, without a single exception, all his responses, all his actions, all his words were to please his heavenly Father. And the Pharisees were mad at him. Unsaved people were mad at him. All kinds of opposition came all the time. He never changed. To the end of his earthly days, he gave a clear-cut testimony. He was in this world to please his Father. And he reached out to be a blessing to all that came in contact with him. How many people, not realizing who he was, were stunned by his ability to help them? The woman at the well, she had no intention of getting saved that day. But he had that intention, and he corrected her opinions and brought her to a faith in himself, for which she was prepared to stand and face persecution if necessary. Now, this is the example that we have in Scripture. When one puts God first and says, "Yes, I'll do his will, whatever," there's always blessing that follows. God is always pleased and provides the spiritual refreshment that that person needs. And we know that. This is not news to any of us. Doing it is what's hard. Actually practicing it is what's difficult. We know it's in the Bible. We know that we should please God. There isn't anybody who would care to debate that who's a born-again Christian. But doing it is hard. And we have to seek his grace, seek his sustaining power to accomplish this in our lives. We aren't going to do it by gritting our teeth and saying, "Well, I've just got to do it." No, we have to let the Lord empower us. Give us the word to say. We need to make that a matter of prayer. When we have a lost person that we know about, we'd like to say something. Don't just grit your teeth and pour something down his throat. Ask the Lord, "What is the best way of reaching this person? How can I touch his heart and conscience? What scripture verse would there be that he would be interested in that might work in his heart?" You know, there are answers to all these questions, and we need to ask the Lord for guidance and help. Pleasing God must be our first principle. And then, how is that going to lead us to be a blessing to others, to be a help to others? Because we're not here just to be offensive, just to cram something down their throat, but we're here to please God, and God knows exactly the best way of doing it. So we need to ask him, "How can I do this well? What verse would be most attractive to this person? How can I start this conversation?" God has the answers to all these kind of questions. We may not, but we must trust him that he does. And when he lays it upon our heart, you know, "You ought to talk to this person," that's a time to say, "Yes, Lord, what shall I say?" The Lord knows what he wants you to say. and we have to ask. In verse 3, even Christ pleased not himself. Ponder that. We're not here in this world to please ourselves, to have a good time, to enjoy everything that's going on. That's not why we're here. Now, yes, there's much that does please us. There's the blessings of Christian fellowship, blessings in prayer to God, blessings in seeing the answers to prayer, many things that are a blessing. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to serve God. We are workers for the Lord. We are servants who are here to give his message to others, to live in a way that tells others we belong to God. Now, there's lots of difficulties that arise through that. But there is also a sense of the pleasure of God. Here is someone who was willing to put God first. That's a goal for every last one of us. Christ himself did not please himself. He came to please his heavenly Father. And he did so every day, all the time. He never failed. As we read the Gospels, it's overwhelming. Day after day, through one difficult situation after another, he pleased his heavenly Father, never changed, and never failed. It can be done. We need grace, the inner guidance of God's Holy Spirit, to accomplish this in our lives. We're not going to do it by gritting our teeth and just plowing ahead. We can make enemies doing that. We do it by listening to the Spirit of God, following his impulse, and using his word to accomplish his purpose. This can be done. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, here is Paul. He is keenly aware of the difficulties of living for the Lord, of speaking for the Lord, but he was doing it. And so he takes it as a sacred trust, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. That's what the gospel is. It's not your private possession. It's a trust that is given to you. It is a treasure that you have experienced and that you can share with others. You don't have to hoard it all. A sacred trust, because God himself wants you to share that blessing. And so Paul is thinking of that sacred trust. Now, there is a tremendous help to us as we realize that our salvation, the fact that we have come to Christ and our sins have been washed away and we stand justified before him, that's a sacred trust. It's not just a nice gift that we can take and walk off with. It's a trust because we can share it. That salvation is not to be hoarded. It's to be shared. And so the trust is, yes, let's take what we have and help others to participate in it also. Share the blessing that has come. And that's logical. It's reasonable. And it's also rare. Many Christians never think of their salvation as a shared trust. It's something they have, they're glad they have, and they want to go off and hold on to it. But Paul didn't think that way. He was thinking in terms of helping others find that same treasure he had. And he went everywhere, talking with people about it, explaining to them that great salvation that he had received. He was a good example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, here's Paul's passionate words to his young lieutenant, Timothy. And yes, Timothy was called as a preacher. He was called to proclaim the word. Paul is speaking to him. But what he's saying here rests upon all of us. It's a charge from God and the Lord Jesus Christ to be one who shares the blessing, who shares the gospel message that has transformed us, that has turned us from sinners into saints, that have turned our life about from the blackness of darkness to the light of glory. And we all understand that. But too often we're going along tight-lipped, saying nothing to anyone about what's happened. And he's saying, share the blessing. Tell others about it. Explain to them what's happened. The time will come when they have to make a choice. If they choose wrongly, they're lost for all eternity. But now they have a chance. As long as they're in this life, your word may be the word that turns them about. The witness may bear fruit. We can't make it do that, but God can use the witness of his people and see to it that it bears fruit. So what Paul is saying here is something that every one of us can apply to our hearts. It's not just to Timothy. This epistle was written so that all would read, and reading that would realize, yes, young Timothy, obviously concerned about his service for the Lord, sometimes trembling on the brink of what shall he say, Paul is saying, don't be timid and speak. You have a charge from God. Go ahead and give that word. Preach the word. Let the chips fall where they may. Don't hesitate. Now, through that, he's speaking to all of us. We don't have the opportunities that Timothy had. We have our own, and they're different. But the principle is the same. We have a tremendous treasure, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, something that transformed us, that turned us from darkness to light. We've seen it happen, and now we have something to tell people about. Now we can explain to them what's different about life. They need to hear. Timothy received this exhortation, obviously, with determination, and went on to become one of the great leaders of the early church. He followed Paul's example, listened to his words, and his life was a great testimony. Well, we can't hear Paul personally, but we can certainly hear his words. We all know what these words are, and obviously, we too need to respond and treasure these words and apply them in our lives and speak out for the Lord and be a good witness for Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, dropping down to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the writer to the Hebrews is carrying forth the very same idea that Paul has been preaching in these epistles that we have quoted here. Christian service is not performed just because we have a responsibility. And you grit your teeth and say, well, I must say this. No, it's performed by faith, trusting that God intends His word to be heard, and that you are a servant of God, and here is a person who needs it, and by faith you give him what God has given you, the word of testimony, the declaration of the faith. You do that because you believe in God. You don't do it because you believe in yourself, that you are so wise, so gifted, so eloquent, that you are able to accomplish wonderful things. No one gets anything done in the Christian church through that. Whatever is done by the grace of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. And here, the writer of the Hebrews is giving you an example from Enoch. He was translated, taken from this world to the next world bodily. And he couldn't arrange that at all. But God did it because it was God's will. He pleased God, and God translated him. And in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to believe that God is the ruler of the universe, that God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. You can't find a place in this world where God is not present. He is present and He is watching. Now, that relieves you of a tremendous amount of worry. God knows the situation. He knows the difficulty of the person involved. He may not be too friendly looking. But God is there. And He is able to change people. And He can use frail servants such as we are to accomplish His purpose. And so there should not be fear, timidity. There should be instead faith, trust in what God has clearly promised. His word brings forth fruit. You quote scripture to someone, they may not like it. But the word is a seed that can sprout and grow and become a powerful influence in the life. You can't make it that, but God's Spirit can. And so, we're not commanded to be eloquent speakers. We're not commanded to be persuasive arguers. We're commanded to preach the word, take the scripture and quote it to them, or hand it to them. Get the word out there so that the word can work in their hearts and God's Spirit can use that word to convict people and turn them to the Lord Jesus. Now, I haven't said anything today that is new. We all know these things. The problem is not knowledge. The problem is heart devotion and the faith to believe that God can use our testimony just as He used Paul, just as He used Timothy, just as He used the writer to the Hebrews. God doesn't play favorites. He is glad to use all His children. And He wants to use you the same way. Pleasing God is the most important thing any of us have to do in this world. Eating, you can skip a whole day without eating and you won't die. You may think you will, but it doesn't work that way. You can struggle in hard tasks, wrestle and sweat and so on. Yeah, you won't drop dead. But friends, pleasing God is your main business. It's my main business. We're not in this world to get rich, to get famous, to have everybody like us. We're here to please God. That is the supreme purpose for every believer. Now, we all know that. It's in the Bible. There's verse after verse. Why then don't we please God more? And that's a question that only you can answer. Every one of us in our heart must face that question. Why do I not please God more? Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we think of ourselves and pleasing ourselves and doing our own thing before we think of Thee. Forgive us. Help us that we may look beyond this world to Thy presence and to see Thee upon the throne and to recognize Thy infinite love and mercy and holiness. And give us grace, Lord, to live for Thee, to speak for Thee, to be witnesses for Thee, to share with others the blessed salvation that You have imparted to us. Lord, we thank Thee for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that washed us from our sins. Give us grace to share that blessing. Give us the opportunities to speak to others and to tell them how great Thou art and what a marvelous thing it is to trust in the Lord Jesus for all of salvation. And help us all, Lord, day by day, hour by hour, to think of pleasing Thee. Make that the purpose of our life, Lord, that day by day, moment by moment, we may walk with Thee and please Thee above all things. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.